Hey, what's happening, good people? This is your boy, Marvin Rashad, and of course, you already know what it is. We got Mo Lane absent today. He's still recovering from his run, but we got Charday back. Deron has come back. Ryan and Vashon are still MIA, right? But you already know what it is. It's the beard always wins. It's the movement. It's the lifestyle. And more importantly, it's a what, babe?
Podcast.
It's a podcast, right? That we're so grateful and thankful that you all are listening to. And with that being said, hey, I got to tell y'all something. We are in a new era now. Y'all, you ready for it? We're in a new era.
What's that?
We no longer say pause no more.
Pause?
Yeah, we don't say pause no more. When you say something questionable, it's no Diddy. So...
Oh, come on now.
I didn't make it up. It's Mace. Mason and Cam.
I refuse to participate in the tearing down of another black man, brother.
Y'all gonna have to elaborate on that a little bit more for me.
So you never heard nobody say pause?
No.
Never.
Oh, okay. Let me give you the history of pause.
Pause, I'm an expert in this game. P-A-U-S, is it?
Yeah.
Like stop pause?
Yeah.
No.
Explain to it, Deron.
So, the pause game all started with Stretch and Barbito's show that used to come on in New York City on, like, I forget what the channel was, but it's like the home of hip-hop or whatever up in New York City. And so, people would come on there, they would come on their show, and they would say something, wild like, yo, man, remember that time I used to come to your house and beat that thing till the white stuff came out? And somebody would say, pause. Yeah.
What?
It was like, old heads say pause. What I hear youngers say is, hey, yo. Like, I hear that all the time.
Okay. Yeah.
Crazy. Or, hey, yo.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of like a, like...
When you say something of questionable heterosexuality, but you don't want to get canceled by the alphabet crew.
Yeah.
Okay.
So before, a lot of people would say, no homo.
Okay, I get it. So it's equivalent to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Now most people say pause, but now Mace has said no Diddy.
Oh God.
And they say pause like 100 times an episode at least, right? Mace and Cam.
It's childish. Real childish.
Yeah.
But now he said.
Now that I'm 43, about to be 44. I'm like, man, y'all need to grow up. Yeah. I play it every now and then when somebody says something questionable.
Like Paul.
Yeah, this is my first time hearing of it.
Yeah, but it's now it's no Diddy, and since we back on Diddy, so I'll go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, speaking of Diddy, I just like literally before we got on the podcast saw a video on social media where this so-called psychic, I don't know anything about her. I'm just from the caption, it says that she's a psychic, and I don't know when this video was recorded, but she's speaking on everything that's currently happening with Diddy. And they're saying this was months ago. And she called out that it was going to happen around March, April, around Easter time.
Was it Jaguar Wright? That's the name? Jaguar Wright.
Jaguar Wright ain't no... That ain't no damn puppy, Gina. Jaguar Wright ain't... You know, it's like Jaguar Wright said some off the wall stuff. Jaguar Wright used to sing like backup with like Erykah Badu and used to sing for the Roots and whatnot. But she has said some off the wall stuff that's like super like cancelable. If you take it out of context, but it's something that she has said that like got a modicum of truth to, and it came to light. But yeah, that's a case of do you trust the messenger? And I don't know about Jaguar Wright.
Yeah, it's like Jaguar Wright, she said some things that you'd be like, what? Like, I'm surprised she ain't got Tasha K yet.
Bro, it's
but
like,
y'all saying some of
the
stuff come to pass?
Is it come to pass?
Go ahead.
So, has anything Jaguar said, Jaguar White, has anything Jag said come to pass? Like, she spoke on something and then it ended up getting exposed.
Yeah.
What?
I wish I could remember. It's a website that I be on. They like every time she says something wild, they bring her up. But it wasn't the Diddy stuff. I know she said something about now, if you want to play the pause game. Now I remember she says something about there being some truth to like that time Mace got caught with the got caught with a cross dresser in Atlanta that one time. Mm.
Speaking of, since it's Atlanta, yeah, it's possible. Very, very possible. A lot of wild
people. I know you watch It Is What It Is, right?
Every now and then. Most time I catch highlights.
I got this question. Y'all are people of faith. How do y'all feel about Mace? Considering he bailed out on hip-hop allegedly because he was messing with some drug dealer, big gangster girl in Harlem, came down to Georgia, decided he wanted to be Pastor Mace, was double dabbling and being a G-Unit affiliate in the mid-2000s or in the mid-aughts or whatever, went back to being a pastor, and now he's doing this again.
I think Mace is an opportunist, right? The one thing I do, I never question anybody's faith, right? Everybody has their own walk. Everybody has to atone in the end for the things they have done. Now, I do believe that he probably was sincere, right? Sincere with what he was doing back then, right? Even though there was some allegations about Mace and his church. I don't even know if the church is still going on. But it was, maybe he was sincere because he like really totally disappeared for about 6-7 years. Then he popped up and then he disappeared again. And it's that age old thing where the Bible says you can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
Either you end up loving one or you hate the other. So with that being said, Mace probably was all in. And then there's a point of us, there's something in us that craves attention, right? And when you got somebody that's in the spotlight, as Mace was, he was at one point in time, Mace was the one of the biggest rappers out, right? And then all of a sudden, it's gone. And so he's at the church and he's getting a different type of love from his congregation. However, it's not to the same effect as what he was getting before. And so, go ahead.
But you have to question, why was that love not enough? Why is that dimmed in comparison to the love that he was getting before? Because he's a pastor trying to be in the church, in the body of Christ, trying to lead these people. Now, you got to think about the type of people that's in this building. Yeah. These are people that truly believe that their faith is all, you know, what they stand on. So if you got somebody up there that's not practicing what they preach, that you can't tell, they lukewarm, they in and out, of course he's not going to feel that true, genuine love. It's not going to compare.
But also, you got to think, he was a rapper, then next day you know he's a pastor. Just like in anything that you do, you have to be groomed. To take these positions, right? And so when you got somebody who comes up and all of a sudden, boom, I'm a pastor now. Like I was rapping, I quit rapping, and 6 months later, it's Pastor Mace, Reverend Mace, you know what I mean?
But you know what? I don't even believe that really makes a huge difference because that's such a huge testimony. That would bring so many people in to see the drastic change in his life. If he really walked in what he believed, what he said he believed, whatever his faith was, and he really stood in that, he would receive more love. The love and the peace that he would receive from just that testimony would have been way more. It would have outweighed what he was getting in the world.
True. I believe that as well. But I also know that it's all about who you come up under. Right? So I don't know who was grooming him, right? I don't know who his mentors were. I don't know who was his bishop or who was his pastor.
But does that really matter? It does. If you following,
it does matter.
You can.
Well, let me tell you why it matters. Yeah. Because I just preached on Sunday, as iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
As one man does to another. So you got to have those accountability. It's just like, the reason why me and DeRon been friends for so long is because we can have those accountability conversations, right?
Right.
And so go ahead.
It's plenty of times I could have walked over the ledge. And I know that if I'm around Mon, or Mon get a whiff of what I'm doing, and vice versa, Mon would be like, "Nah, man, we don't do that, man. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna rein me back in,
right?
Like, he ain't gonna steer me wrong. Like, Mon, one of the few people that if I was on my deathbed, I would trust Mon enough to be like, "Hey, man, I need you to be the trust for my daughter's life, for my life insurance policy, for my daughter." Like, that's how deep the friendship runs between me and Mon. And it's been running that deep since when? Since we, like, 15 years old?
Yeah.
15, 16 years old.
And I get that. I definitely get having somebody to hold you accountable. But when we step out of the secular world and into the world, the spiritual world and the world of faith, the Holy Spirit is your accountability partner. If you have that true faith, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, regarding that, Mon know that my walk is one of the most crooked walks.
We straighten it out. So, it gets straight.
But Mon can testify to this. Out of all the people that I know that have taken this walk towards their faith, a lot of them that I hear, I'm still judging them on what they used to be. Mon, the only person that I sit down and like, hey man, like, when I got out of the hospital, Mom was like, "Hey, man, I need you to read the scripture." And I read the scripture, and I kept reading more and more and more. And sometimes when we have like these discussions, we have these talks about nothing, they always seem to drift towards faith. Because, like I said, like, my walk is a whole lot crazy. But it's still one of those things where I know what the right path looked like.
Right.
And sometimes I just want to hear it from somebody I trust.
Right. Well,
he has sweat equity with me, as they say.
Yeah, I can get that between you and Mon. Oh. I get.
I'm sorry,
no, did
really, really. I get the relationship and the accountability between the two of you, but we started out talking about Mace and him being in the pastoral sector of everything. I feel like once you reach that level, your faith should be even higher than that. You know what I'm saying? And you should be able to separate the man from... Oh, go ahead, DeRon.
I understand. This is something that I think that every human being battles with is separating the person from the art. Because Lord knows, I feel a certain way listening to R. Kelly when it comes. But I can't remember who I heard say it, but it was like, "Hey, man," it's like, I used to separate the art from the artist. And he's like, then I grew up because I started in my heart of hearts feeling that, like, yeah, I can separate the art from the artist, but credibility has to mean something.
Yeah.
And the thing with Mace with credibility is, like we said, hey, you was flashy pretty boy rapper, then you went to the church, then you came back, and then you was murder mates.
Yeah.
Then you disappeared and went back to the church. Then you dropping disses and freestyle talking about how you gonna kill somebody. And then you disappear. And it's one of those things where it's like, my personal bias, I don't trust people from New York, specifically from Harlem. And Mace from Harlem. so I don't trust them. I think it was when he was really beefing with Cam, and Cam said, false prophet, all prophet, you really dirty when you go in the Lord's pocket.
Yeah.
And that seemed what Mace was doing.
Yeah, but
right.
But that kind of goes back to my point, is like, you always, Mama preached that sermon, what you do it for. Why are you doing this, right? Are you doing it for personal gain? Are you doing it for wealth? You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing this for? And whatever the reason that you're doing it, right, when you take up the cloth, it has to be truth and sincere.
Right.
It has to have some kind of truth and sincerity to it. Because if not, then you find yourself in and out. In and out. You're in when it's good for you. Mm-hmm. You're out when it's good for you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, at some point in time, like, people always ask me, Ma, how come you don't rap no more? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't rap no more because my life is not that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, during the time I was trying to be a rapper, I was out partying. I was out drinking. I was out doing... That was my life. Mm-hmm. That's no longer my life. And if I ever try to go back and rap, I find myself doing this, you know, rapping about that same lifestyle that I was living. Mm-hmm. But I don't live it no more. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So,
Mom, you have turned into Andre 3000 and don't know it. I don't know what to rap about now. What I'm going to rap about? Rap about a colonoscopy?
and you're right though. Like I don't know what. Like it don't hit me. Like, you know what I mean? Like most of the time, I'm thinking about a sermon. If I'm, you know what I mean? Like if I'm thinking about something, or I'm thinking about the podcast, I'm not thinking about how can I say the dopest line that ain't nobody ever heard of no more. You know what I mean? I'm thinking about something that, hey, let me help myself and then let me find a way to share this with the world so it can help somebody else. You know, that's what I be thinking about. I ain't trying to be Mr. Hennessy Jones no more. Like, that ain't me. I don't even drink Hennessy no more. So, it's one of those things. Like, the Patron shots are very few and far in between. Now, so, like I said, that's just me. But, you know, speaking of Andre 3000, people really love this flute album.
Do they?
They say.
Hey, I tried to get Mon to come to this, but I am going to the Roots picnic on June 1st after I move up to DC.
Uh-huh.
Guess who is the co-headliner with Lil Wayne with the Roots backing him? Andre and the doggone flute.
So he gonna get up there and play the flute?
Yes. People have convinced, you know, I know, hey, don't come for me. This is just my analysis. But the same way that people are forcing themselves to like this flute album, Friday at 12:01, you're gonna have a lot of people trying to force themselves liking country music just because Beyonce did it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Let me just say this about the flute album. It wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. In fact, I'm going to tell you what happened. Flute album came out that night. I'm playing it. I go in there. And I wake up Trenton. And I'm playing. Trenton wakes up. And you know how hard it is to wake Trenton up.
Mm-hmm.
Trenton wakes up. What is that? Turn the alarm off. What is that? Make it stop. What is this? Just stop. I'm like, it's the new Andre 3. I don't care. Turn it off. He got out the bed, too. Right then and there. That's how bad this album is to me.
Well, I imagine there's an audience for it out there because there's some people out there probably genuinely like that flute.
And I think they all do ayahuasca.
Hey. I'm not here to knock it. I just say it ain't for me. And I keep on moving. But you know what? And it saddens me to say this, but that's, and I think me and you have talked about this before, particularly talking about music. Like, I find myself feeling like that about a lot of music that dropped. Like, the music, I always remember Chris Rock saying that the music that was banging when you first started having sexual relations was going to be your soundtrack for the rest of your life.
You know,
and the soundtrack for the rest of my life sucked now. And I don't like it. But I will give this generation a caveat. You know who I have been playing a lot lately? And I thought I would never get to this point.
Who?
But when I'm working out, it actually bangs. Young Thug, dog. I never thought I would listen to Young Thug.
See?
I don't like, I do not.
I used to listen to it all the time, and Mom used to just scream in the car, turn it off. We're going to listen to this again. They don't even know what he's saying.
I turn into the old man when I hear that mumble rap, right? It could be Young Thug, Rich Homie Quan. Well, I actually like some Rich Homie Quan songs, but like that style of rap, like even when Lil Wayne was doing it, I didn't like it. That would be my least favorite song. And even to this day, I'm like, Skip, nope, we ain't listening to this. Nope, we gotta listen to something else. I'd rather listen to the MC Hammer's Greatest Hits on repeat.
Hey, I ain't gonna say nothing about Hammer. If y'all want to know how thorough Hammer is, go listen to any Redman interview when he talk about Hammer. That ain't gonna be me, Chief.
But gain the momentum, that's it.
Yeah, but yeah, speaking of like music, see how we did that? Segue. Future just dropped the album with Metro Boomin. Metro Boomin is beefing with Drake for some odd reason. I think the 21 Savage album, joint album, was supposed to have been all produced by Metro.
Yeah.
And so he felt a certain way about that. Then he got with Future, who is also beefing with Drake because, guess what? A woman. I was going to say she on the track team, but bro, you think about it. Future 40. And Drake about to turn, 37, 38?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and so then Future dropped some bars, dissing Drake. Multiple bars dissing Drake on that entire album. Then he reached out and got Kung Fu Kenny, who got the computers Putin about the waffle colored kid from Canada who cried over a tuna sandwich.
Yeah.
Wheelchair Jimmy. So, yeah.
Dude, I can't even lie. So the K-Dot verse was dope. It was a tight 16. And the last time I saw Drake, he looked like he was on stage looking like he was on one of the Spy Kids movies. That's the kind of outfit he had on. I don't know why, but that's just what he had on.
Looking like Jimmy Neutron.
Exactly. And he was just saying like the way he feels right now is that nobody can mess with him. That they ain't a dude out or N word out that can mess with him.
His music?
That's him,
lies.
Period.
Lies.
Right?
All lies. Bro, it ain't been. Like I said, I don't listen to too much rap from this era, but every time I heard a song with him and 21 Savage or him and Future, he gets washed.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, dude, there's only so much you could rap about. That's why people retire.
Right.
For the most part, there's only so much you can rap about.
I don't know. I think there's gonna always be something.
I'm talking from an individual standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You know what? I actually kind of agree with Sade on this point because think about it. He didn't even the guy I'm about to mention didn't even reinvent himself. He just found new ways to talk about his life. Nas dropped what 6 albums in the last 3-4 years.
Yeah. You know. Y'all might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be done, but look at the caliber of artists that have to do it.
Yeah.
These cats don't have any originality. It's speaking of music, so like it's one big thing that was I think Pete Rock, who is the angriest producer in hip hop history outside of Melly Mel. but Pete Rock says something to the effect of these kids aren't original because all they're doing is taking 90s music that was already a sample of a sample,
yeah,
and just throwing some new drums on this sample and claiming it to be a new beat. And of course, he got a whole bunch of, hey, old man, stop yelling at the crowd's comments. This is how we do it now, blah, blah, blah. But as angry as Pete Rock is, Pete Rock actually got a point here.
You know,
I'm sorry, babe. You know what? I kind of agree with that because here recently, and the only reason I know so much about, well, I don't know a whole lot, but the reason I know about it is because it's Mia's favorite rapper. And he was catching a lot of heat because apparently he was taking a lot of people's lyrics. And I know one of them songs, when Mia first played it, I was rapping it like I knew it. But it was not because it was his. I think it was a Tupac song. And I was like,
yeah, right away.
Yeah, I knew the Tupac song. So she was like, how you know this song? I was like, because.
What song was it?
Mama telling on herself.
But what song was it?
He ripped some Big lines, some Pac lines, some he even ripped some like Boosie lines. I ain't talking about just like a line. I'm talking about the entire song. Earth.
And then Boosie went, he was mad about it.
Yeah, because you got to pay these people.
Yeah. But I hadn't heard anybody else speak out about
it. Somebody was, when it got brought up, young people just want to be mad at something. Was like, hey, old man, it might have been your what's name, but if somebody got paid, it's obvious that you don't have like the rights to your own music. Go take it up with them.
Yeah.
But again, it's my song. Everybody know this my song. The smart thing would have been, even if I ain't gonna get paid, is to have me somewhere on your album where I get a writing credit, mm-hmm. or give me a writing credit for the song, or just have me in the video if you make a video for it.
Yeah.
I don't know who watching videos anymore, so.
Speaking of video, I was watching, it was like you know how you do like your favorite, the top 10 videos, the top 10 rap songs of this year or whatever. And they had the, like, from 92 to 95, and every video they had, like, the rappers in the hallway or standing outside, and then they take off running.
Oh, I thought they were doing this right here.
They would be doing that, but then they take off running, like the police chasing them or something.
Yeah, I already know what you're talking about.
Yo, I was like, you know what? I was like, man, the police chasing everybody. Everybody.
You know what's crazy about that?
What's that?
The Roots What They Do video mocked all of that, and people got angry about it.
They did. Never Do What They Do. Look, the Roots, they took shots. Like, Black Thought had... That video was very foreshadowing and critical of what was going on at the time. Mm-hmm. But just like anything, like music is subjective, and you know, these kids gonna like what they like. Mm-hmm. That'll never serve me. I gotta like it. But then again, you always gotta say, is this music really made for me? Like, if I wanna listen to something, like you said, I will go and listen to King's Disease if I want to hear something that's gonna be more my style, you know. So,
but that brings up the age old question: Why is hip hop the only genre where it's a young man's sport? The genre by itself is relatively young. It's only 50. It's about to be 51 years old in August. So why can't somebody that's not, think about it. Nas was born at the same time that hip hop was born.
Yeah,
and he's still doing it.
Yeah.
So why can't somebody his age do it?
Like, I'm not saying he can't do it. You know what I mean? But like you said, look at the caliber of artist that Nas is. Right? Nas is very the song he had where he did the whole song backwards.
Oh, Rewind.
Rewind. He rapped the whole, he told the story, but he told it backwards. And he, to me, that's like one of Nas's, like, I'm like, whoa, that's talent. That's taking time to sit there with your pen and just, and take, he's crafting stories. You know what I mean? Like, he's telling these stories. It wasn't just about, I'm the biggest. Yes, he had his Big Willie style era, but he always stayed true to who he was. And that was, look, I'm going to tell these stories. Was looking out the project window. And he's always been a, like, you know, I wish Nas would start writing movies.
You know what? I think that when it comes to people coming into this industry at his age, as opposed to him being in it and staying in it all this time, I think it's really stereotypical because a lot of it is based on the exterior. People see an old man coming in trying to rap. The first thing they look at is, he too old for that. I think it's the appearance. I don't think that they really would give the music a chance because they too focus on the superficial things.
But it's the subject matter. So you got to think, Nas came out when, in 93. And he has been consistent. Has he had a couple of average albums? Yes, he has. But for the most part, his pen has been consistent.
No, I agree. Nas is really good. I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, Deron was asking, why is it such a big thing for somebody his age that he's at now to come in as opposed to him staying in?
Okay. So
that's just like you doing music when you first started and you staying in and still doing it right now, as opposed to you just starting right now saying, you know what, I'm about to rap. I'm going to look at you.
I got an unpopular opinion when it comes to rap, which is it's a genre that refuses to grow up. It wants to stay immature and adolescent. Because, yes. I mean, if you look at somebody like 2 Chainz, like, bro, you my age. Go sit down.
Facts.
Like, why are you doing this?
Facts. I saw a guy on...
You should go home and be a family man.
Yeah. I saw a guy with gold in his mouth. I don't even know him, but he's one of my Facebook friends. This is probably somebody I approved a long time ago. But when I first saw a picture of him, he was like in a, I want to say like a Wendy's uniform. And this guy got to be like late 40s, middle, something like that. In a Wendy's uniform, but he had his phone up to his face doing a freestyle. And I just cringed. And then the next part of his story, he was in his regular clothes. I guess he had gotten off from work and he had a mouthful of gold, the gold, framed glasses, you know, like the, I was just like, please go sit down. You like too old for this. Yes.
Before he made the switch to anti-Semite and the other things, that was the one cool thing about Kanye. Kanye made it cool to just be a regular dude.
Yeah.
Like, just be yourself when you first came out. Granted, it was a little bit of like narcissism and infatuation with name brands and wealth and gluttony. But the overall theme was taking something that tribe and like the native tongues did, was like, hey, just be yourself, man. Like, you can be, the black experience isn't this thugged out one thing. It can be multiple things.
Right.
Because let's face it. Maybe 10%, not even, that might be too much. Maybe 5% of the black population grew up in the projects. Right? I'm just saying, maybe 5%, and that might be too much. Everybody didn't grow up selling dope. Everybody didn't grow up game banging. And different walks of life. The average person just went to school.
But most rappers that didn't grow up like that, grew up in the suburbs or the Joneses from Valdosta or whatever, when they go into the rap game, they pretend like they did.
Now, the Joneses was real. Let me just say that right now.
I know that, but it was not considered. I'm comparing that to being in the hood and being in the Joneses, two separate worlds.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all was probably bad, but y'all, it wasn't like what they was doing in the projects.
No.
But it's the same thing I'm saying, the same thing I think all of us are saying. It's the same thing. I can't remember the guy's name, but he won an Oscar for not writing, but I think adaptation of a screenplay to American Fiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that, but this is wild to even say that, like, he caught a lot of flack from his own people about what he said at his Oscar speech, which was, hey, he's like, when people usually shoot a movie in Boston, they show in Little Italy, the lakefront or whatever, and they show in all of these different areas, and they don't go into Roxbury, and they don't go, or if they do go into the black neighborhood, they show in like the hood, like,
right,
this one image, like what you would see on like what feels like 90% of other like black produced shows. Like, there's always got to be some struggle in it. Yeah. I think people need to see these different like portrayals of like black life, in between Barack Obama and, I was about to say a name, but I ain't gonna say a name because that person might listen to it and they didn't about us. But for somebody that we grew up that has done some time in the joint, there's a lot of blackness in between that don't get their story told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. Like, a lot of the best stories do went to jail. Well, what we seem to be the most popular story, dude goes to jail, gets out, tries to make good, right? But why? Where's the, hey, I just graduated, worked hard, applied my craft and I made it. You know, there's not enough of those stories, you know?
Right. Like, my parents had jobs. We ate every night. We didn't have to sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
Every story of a black family or life doesn't have to be feed the children.
Right. It made me think about Family Matters. They're right now, like, Family Matters, like, even though, what's his name? What's the, Eddie Winslow and his dad was a cop, but they were, that kind of showed that dynamic. You know,
it did.
If you could get past the Urkelism, but in the beginning, it kind of, the first season or two, it kind of showed that dynamic of just a normal ordinary family.
Yeah, middle class.
Because as much as we love the Huxtables, how many parents, black kids, have that a doctor and a lawyer as
yeah. which one of your siblings did your parents send to their room and we didn't see them for about 8 months?
Not now, one of them. Who we talking about? What's his name?
The young girl.
From Family Matters?
Sent her upstairs on like episode 3 and we ain't see her no more.
Next time,
that's how they took her off? Well,
look, she just disappeared. The next time you saw her, she was doing porn.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we said all this positivity about being black and the black narrative in America and whatnot. Also, if you listen to this, my homeboy, Jason England, wrote a good article regarding American fiction. He's been teaching it at, like, Carnegie Mellon for, like, over a decade now. So he got, like, real good insight on it. So I suggest y'all check that out. But, yeah, we said all that positive stuff for me to come back to money. But, like, so who you got? Future and Kendrick or J. Cole? Drake? Because you know where this from. You know where it's going. It's about to turn into some... Why the light-skinned dude going up against the dark-skinned dude? It's about to go a whole bunch of angles except for the actual, like, rapping.
Yeah, this is Al B. Sure versus Bobby Brown. I don't know. I might get... I like Kendrick more than I like any of them. So whatever Kendrick on is probably what I'm going to gravitate to. Yeah.
I like J. Cole.
You do?
Yeah. I like J. Cole and Kendrick.
I never hear you listen to J. Cole, though.
But I do.
Okay. I don't know. Be here.
Well, I don't really listen to my rap playlist stuff when I'm around you, because you really don't like the rap that I listen to. So when we in the car together,
Sade. What? Give me your top 5 rappers now, because I gotta hear this.
I'm not a big rap. That's pretty much the gist of it. J. Cole, I listen to. I don't listen to a whole lot of Kendrick Lamar, but I do like his stuff. I listen to old rap. I listen to a lot of Tupac. I listen to Biggie. I listen to... I do have some... what's the guy's name? It's just this one song I like that he did.
Kilo Ali. She like Kilo.
No.
Hey.
That's not
it.
Let me see what this man's name is.
I'm going
to
tell y'all.
Hey.
She'll rap that
one.
Start to finish.
I don't care.
Start to finish.
I don't care.
What is that? I don't even know.
I don't care how far I make it in my career, my trajectory, and working in the government. I don't care if I'm a politician. I'm going to play Kilo Ali's Baby and leave once a week. I don't care. Organized base. Highly underrated.
Dude, like...
Go back and listen to that, kid.
What's all in your mouth?
Oh, Glorilla. I like Glorilla.
You like Glow?
Yeah, I like Glow. Yeah, Glow.
I'm about to lean into the camera like Umar Johnson. I beg your pardon.
I like Glorilla.
Hey.
I beg your pardon.
Hey, Eliza, one day we were riding. Me and Charlie, we were riding. Hey, that Kilo Ali song, Ali Ma, came on. And she started going. I was like...
I like... Shut up.
Clutch pearls. My wife? I think I love her. I think we weren't even married yet, but I was like...
I thought you were gonna say you were crying like the little kid. I'm like, he ate my twig.
Why would you tell me?
You didn't look in the mud. Please tell me mud didn't look over from the driver's seat and be like, but you're a mother.
No, I don't even remember him saying anything. I don't even know he was looking at me.
I didn't look.
This is the first time I've heard of this, Deron.
Let me tell you. Whenever we drive, right?
I never knew he felt the way about it.
I felt good about it. I was like, that's my type of music, right, at the time. So we ride. Whenever we go somewhere, she kick her shoes off, right?
Hold on. Let me get this pen like Greg Gumbel so I can like, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she kick her shoes off, and most of the time she goes to sleep, right? But that song came on, she popped up, it was gone. Was I was like, I don't even know the words to these songs. But she did.
I like Moneybagg Yo too. I like some of his stuff.
Yeah. I don't even know who Moneybagg Yo is.
Please don't tell me Sade was sitting over there saying, she say she never done it. She say she never done it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Moving along.
Hands and everything. Like this.
Really, Mon?
Hey, man, look. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I just told y'all, Trinidad James, I'll go with everything. That's one of my favorite songs. And so, Deron, I got a question. I got a question for you.
I'm gonna say one other person that we forgot that is has been injected into this beef is Rick Ross.
What he got to do
Rick
with
Ross?
It?
His ex girlfriend, because it's always about women. Drake advertised on his IG, sending her 3 OVO backstage passes and all this other stuff and some other stuff because I think Rick Ross liked the tweet that was sharing the diss or whatever. Yeah. And so next thing you know, he flew Rick Ross's ex girl out and some other stuff. So he's a habitual line stepper. If I had to scold the youths about anything, this is the product of y'all not getting punched in the face once or twice in your 20s.
Yeah.
that brings this type of behavior on.
Yeah. And speaking of habitual line steppers, so you know Dylan never said Dylan spit hot fire. He never said that. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've always been looking for the episode of Making of the Band to see what he said. But then he came out, right? Because so just to bring Charlie up, so Chappelle made a skit about Making of the Band.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan got kicked out the group. Mm-hmm. And so Chappelle is playing Dylan. Mm-hmm. And so he made that line, like, that line I spit. What do you say, Deron? You know it better than I do.
Dylan spits hot fire. The top 5 rappers are Dylan, and Dylan.
But.
Y'all love Dave Chappelle.
Yo, Chappelle, man. Chappelle funny.
Yeah, prophet, man. Prophet.
Yeah.
I can't get with it. Most of the stuff don't be funny to me.
But.
Anyhow.
Dylan said that ruined his career, that skit.
What career?
Exactly.
Can't ruin something that ain't never started.
Exactly. But 20 years later, he's talking about, hey, that skit ruined my career.
Mm. Yo, was this the interview where he said that, this is the interview, because the thing was, he said it ruined his career, but everybody that was associated with the skit said he was the only one that didn't show up. So Chappelle played his part. Because Chappelle was just going to play Puff.
Yeah.
And dude decided not to show up to the taping. So he was like, screw it, I'll do it myself.
Yeah. Dylan. Hey, that was funny.
Speaking of Chappelle show. What is your favorite skit all time? Because for me, it's a toss up between the STD Muppets and the barbershop where he grabbed, he's like had John Mayer playing the guitar.
Yeah,
and dude's like, hey yo, shut the fuck up. Then they throw the drums there. But my favorite part is when he has the Hispanic guy playing not harpsichord, but whatever he was playing. And he's like, I'm going to kick it up a notch. And he grabs the loudspeaker and starts speaking it.
My favorite Chappelle skit is the one where the racist guy, he was black, he was blind.
Oh, Clayton Bigsby.
Yeah, Clayton Bigsby. That's one of my favorite ones. And surprisingly, the Wayne Brady is one of my... Is Wayne Brady going to have to slap today? That's one of my... those are my two.
Considering where we are with Wayne Brady right now.
I know, right? Foreshadowing. Foreshadowing.
Right.
So, I got to ask you a question, Deron. I wish Mo was going to be here to ask this question here, because about to talk about a little football. What do you think about Deion saying his sons aren't going to play for certain teams?
I refuse to talk about Deion because I've been labeled a Deion hater, and I don't want to. I'll put it to you like this. I ain't going to say nothing about Deion. I ain't going to say nothing about his kid. But this season, I'm actively rooting for that kid to fail.
To fail?
To fail.
Okay. Let me just...
Go ahead. I call him Silver Spoon Brady for a reason. Because for him to come out and say that he had it tougher playing Texas high school football, your whole career has been nepotism. Your father was your offensive coordinator when you was at Trinity. You went to a private school. You weren't playing the same competition that Jalen Miro and Quinn Ewers and Cade Klubnik and numerous other starting quarterbacks that's in the SEC and Big 12 that played in Texas. Then when you made it to college, the only big time offer that you got was from Florida State. Why? Because your father's former teammate, the head coach at the time, yeah. Then once he got fired and got hired at FAU, you accepted a scholarship to go to FAU. And then when your father got hired, you followed your father to Jackson State. And when your father decided to leave Jackson State, you went to Colorado. So tell me, where is the difficulty in your life?
Dude, it's like for a 3-star recruit, I think that's what he was. People trying to say he was a 4-star recruit. He was not he was a 3-star recruit, right? Really based off of the competition he was playing. He wasn't playing, they're just like them playing open Bible like he had Valwood.
Okay. Are y'all talking about Deion or are y'all talking about the son?
The son.
I'm talking about Shador.
Shador.
Oh, Shador. The son.
Yeah. Okay. Now, that's not to say he's not talented, right? Because he is talented. It's stars don't mean everything. But I will say this, and I told Charlie this last year. I said, they ain't going to win but 4 games, maybe 5. Mm-hmm. And people say we were hating the wrong.
You did say that.
Because
but matter of fact, when he got hired, we looked at the schedule and said, we see 5 wins here.
Yeah. Like, even this year, they might win 7 games.
And then how many did they end up winning?
4.
4?
4.
Yeah.
Started out 3-0.
Yeah. And then...
So I'm gonna call out his stat. Just passing attempts. From TCU game on, 47, 42, 47, 33, 45, 42, 47, 43, 39, 35. Then he had 10 in the Washington State game because he got injured. I kind of believe a Pac-12 defensive coordinator saying that, yeah, we just like load up on the pass because Deion trying to stat pad his kid.
Yeah.
Because how many times are me and you in the chat like, hey, man, when they going to run the football?
We always wanted. Always wanted.
Right.
And here goes the thing. I don't think the offensive line's gotten any better. I don't think the defensive line's gotten any better. Now, granted, they're going to be playing in the Big 12, but at the same time, you got it. I just don't think who's in the Big. I don't think they're going to beat Oklahoma State.
I can call out several coaches in the Big 12 that they may not have like the talent, but they will out scheme the hell out of Colorado when they play them. Dave Aranda at Baylor.
Yep.
And I might sound like a homer, but his track record is showing that he does it. Man, Leipold at Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State.
Yep.
Willie Fritz at Houston.
Yep.
Who else you want to throw in there? Hell, Dillingham at Arizona State. Todd Whittingham at Utah. That's 6 names I just called out right there.
Yeah. six games that they probably gonna lose.
Yeah, I think looking at the early projections, I think I want to say Vegas had them at 6.5.
Yeah,
I take the under. Fool bet if you take the over.
I take the under. I take the under on that one. I might have to Zell you about 50 to put on the under on that one.
But do you think that Deion gonna stay, or he doing this to make a play? Because you know he did say it's only four teams that think I can't remember. It wasn't Bomani, but it was somebody I was listening to. It was like, yeah, he called out the teams that he would want Travis Hunter and Shador to go play for, which was Baltimore, Atlanta, Dallas, and Washington. All teams that Deion played for in his pro career.
Yeah. Now, I can see Shador playing, getting to Atlanta, right? I can see that, right? You got Kirk Cousins. Baltimore? Why would Baltimore draft him?
All right.
They got Lamar. Washington?
They either taking Drake May or Jaden Daniels this year.
Exactly. And who was Dallas? Dallas? Could Shador fall?
Jerry is crazy enough
to bet the farm.
Yeah.
To say, hey, we all in.
They already laying the groundwork to put whatever failure they have this year on Dak.
Yeah.
Which, if I was Dak, I'd be like, just get me out of here. Yeah. Please.
Give me the money. Matter of fact, how much Dak going to make this year? $56 million?
$60 million.
Yeah, that's look. You can't hate on that. You can hate on the butt.
How much time we got?
9 minutes.
Because I got a question. I got a personal question for you.
Okay.
What is going on in Clark County with all these arrests and y'all players not being able to go to speed limit?
It's a epidemic, right? I know you're talking about ATN. It's an epidemic. Look, if you ever been to Athens, ain't nothing to do in Athens if it ain't football season. I'm sorry, just really. Not a lot to do. It's I think Athens was actually built around the University of Georgia. I think the University of Georgia was there before Athens was. Isn't what the lady told us on the tour? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a college town. Frats, sororities. It's a college town. A lot of wealthy old Georgia money goes there, and they gonna party. Now, unfortunately, because it always seems to be the people of color that are getting these speed tickets. At some point in time, you got to sit there and look and say, hold on, wait, let me just not do this. If I'm a drink, let me just drink at home. You know, at some point in time, you got to say, look, they targeting us. Now, granted, you can't be going 80 and 45.
Are they being targeted, though? Or are they just making wrong bad decisions?
Thank you, smarter. Half of the Williams
household. No. what I'm trying to say is this, right?
Mom, no. They've been getting arrested since Rick was there.
Exactly. That's why I say you can't be doing 80 and a 45 and then trying to say they targeted. Like,
well, you doing 80 and a 45, you put the target on your own back.
Exactly. Exactly. And then now, like with NIL, like you got Lamborghinis and Trackhawks and...
Trackhawks.
Yeah, all these
the Durango with the Hemi in it.
Yeah, the RT they buying all these fast cars, and of course you want to try them out. And there's some places, some stretches like between Athens and what's the next town going west.
I just went through there and I couldn't tell you.
I can't think of, but it's a stretch where like you can really get it if you want to, like.
Yeah, I'm like just take what's the name that take you down to 20 and just get on that stretch of 20. From when 20 turned from a 2-lane road to a 4-lane road, you don't see a cop till you hit Rockdale County.
Exactly. But so do it there as opposed to doing. And listen, we've all been young. I know for a fact that
I'm still there. I just had to. I'm hitting mute and hitting on the video.
It's cool, but I know for a fact that I didn't have my times where. Matter of fact, the robber in the car. Who's the soberest? That's who's gonna drive. Right, like I designated the driver didn't necessarily not drink; they just didn't drink as much. Mm-hmm. Am I right? The wrong.
Hey, last call was at 1:30. I stopped drinking at 1:15.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's when you started drinking water at 1 o'clock. Trying to get out the club. But yeah, I don't know, man. You know, eventually you gotta learn. But you know, he came from that school down south. So I guess he's officially a dog now. You know, got arrested for DUI, speeding. I don't know. Maybe it's a rite of passage. I have no idea.
Oh, it wasn't that he got a DUI. He got a DUI. It wasn't the part that people don't know is the blood alcohol content level. He got the DUI because he is under 20 or under 21.
18?
Yep, he's 20.
Oh, wow. This is third year in college. But then again, you know, they be enrolling early, reclassifying and stuff. I don't know. Which is crazy. Hey, so real quick, Deron, what's the one any new series that you're watching? Not the one, but are there any new series that you're watching?
It's been a chore because, you know, I've been traveling around the United States, filling out job applications and whatnot. So I really ain't watched nothing, but I am making it a mission. Actually, I'm going to do it after we get off of there. I'm going to watch Shirley with Regina King. The story about Shirley Chisholm, first black woman to run for president in 76.
I didn't even know that was out.
Yep, it came out on the 22nd.
What's that on?
It's on Netflix. Okay. And for the people that love the series, Martin comes back on Netflix. The entire series on Netflix.
Man, we were just talking about that. I looked on Netflix. I'm scrolling through. I was like, oh, Martin, I get ready to watch it. I'm like, the 31st? Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. Yo, you got to check out Shogun, though, man.
Seen it. It's in the queue.
Shogun is it.
I've been trying to finish Peaky Blinders for like 2 months now.
Did you watch that, man? Peaky Blinders?
No.
No, I haven't watched that either.
The one that got the star of the show is the guy who played Oppenheimer in the movie, Cillian Murphy.
Gotcha. All right, yeah. I've heard about it. I just never watched it.
Just because we're talking about TV shows, I've seen it, but I refuse to watch it because I know they bastardized it. Have you watched the Freaknik documentary?
We started watching it and went to sleep. Yeah. I'm looking for people I know.
That's all I was doing. I was looking for mine.
Unless they got the last one, 99, then you ain't gonna see me on there when it was dead. But so wrapping it up, we got like 2.5 minutes left, right? 2.5 minutes. Real quick, what is your favorite shoe right now that you wear?
I'm in the Larry David portion of my life where I'm just going to dress like Larry David to the day that I die. So, yeah, I'm just wearing Chucks.
Chucks. Mine, hey, Chucks, dude,
but,
man.
But if you want some orthopedic shoes that's kind of stylish, that's good for your feet, I highly recommend Ultra Boost by Adidas. They cost $200, but they worth it.
Dude, you know it's worth it? The Hey Dudes. $50 for the Hey Dudes, man.
Oh,
you
talking about the shoes I was
climbing
you about?
Yeah. They climbed me about my Hey Dude,
but why?
I don't know.
Mud is out here wearing the white man's equivalent of Air Force One.
And they so comfortable,
and
too.
And he love them, too.
They so comfortable, man. Like wearing socks. I'm serious. It's like, do you remember how the Nike, what's them the Nikes called? The, man.
You wear... I see you wearing those. I see people that wear those shoes. I think of people that wear pants where I still see their ankles. You be showing your ankles at the dealership?
No. Never showing my ankles. Never showing my ankles at the dealership. But I'm going to tell you this right now. The Hey Dudes are comfortable. Dude, you got to try them on. It's like a house shoe for outside. I know that sounds crazy, but they are so comfortable.
Are they better than those Nikes? That you had that one time from the Nike outlet?
They just as comfortable. No, those give me real, real support. Yeah. These are just like, hey, I'm sliding them on. I'm going because I'm being lazy. Mm-hmm. And they good. But they wear out fast, though. They wear out fast.
You are a step above Air Monarchs. Hey, I see, man. Air Monarchs in your future.
Hey, I might be the first one to get them, but you going to be right there with me. Right there with me. But, hey, y'all, this has been fun, man. An hour goes by fast. We keep telling that. But, like, with that being said, we're going to wrap this up. We'll be back next week. Charlotte, you coming back?
Maybe.
You ain't got no choice. You're going to be here with me.
You forcing me.
I'm forcing. Deron will be back, and hopefully Mo will come back. It's the Beard Always Wins. Movement, Lifestyle.